So he books the ticket and he is late to the airport. He cannot go on the plane. He missed the flight. And this meeting is going to change his whole business. And on top of this, he understands that the guy, his competitor, who didn't have tickets for the flight and was on the waiting list, was there in time, and he took his ticket. Is this a curse or not? 2 hours later, the plane crashes. So the guy on the plane thought he was blessed. He took the place of his friend, and he's going to have the business. What a lucky guy he is. And the guy that didn't get the plane thought, what a curse. I'm going to lose everything. Eventually, the one who thought it's a curse, it was really a blessing. And the one who thought it's a blessing was really a curse. That's the meaning of a curse that looks like a blessing and a blessing that looked like a curse. And the thing is that we have to understand and realize that whatever we do in life, if it's in the way of God, nothing wrong is going to happen to us. The Chafetz Chaim Zatzal says, if you go in the right way and you do good things, nothing bad can come from a good deed you do. But sometimes we see it's not working like this. I know it's this story about this guy. He started a charity. And it became very big. And he was really spending a lot of time, more and more time, and he was neglecting his business. And after doing it for a few years, his wife came to him and says, Moishele, I'm sorry. You know, you did it for a few years. Now let somebody else do the mitzvah. You're neglecting the business and, you know, you did it, you did your share. Let somebody else. But he didn't want, he liked it. He built it. He wanted to go on doing it. It's a good thing. It's a big mitzvah. Didn't want to do it. Says, you know what? I'm going to go to the Chafetz Chaim and ask him. Do you agree? Whatever the Chafetz Chaim says, that's what we do. He says, of course. Chafetz Chaim. So he goes to the town of the Chafetz Chaim. And they tell him the Chafetz Chaim now is in a function somewhere. He can go there. He comes there. And they're in the middle of a meal, of a simcha, whatever. And the Balabai tells him, you know, sit here. You want to ask the question when the Chafetz Chaim finishes, after benching, you can ask him your question. So he's sitting there. And the Chafetz Chaim suddenly stops and says a Dvar Torah. And he looks at him. And he says, David HaMelech says, how does he start? גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא ירגע, אבל שיפט רם שנאמר, לא תארו לכם שנאמר, זה נאמר, זה נאמר, אך טוב וחסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי. What is אך טוב וחסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי? Good and chesed and mercy is going to chase me all my life. Did you hear? This is a phrase that you use for bad things. Who is chasing? A villain is chasing you. A tzora is chasing you. Good things are chasing you? You don't want good things like that. You want them. You don't chase. You don't run away from good things. So what does it mean, says the Chafetz Chaim? Says Chafetz Chaim, sometimes people think that the good that they do is chasing them. But they're wrong. Because if you do good, alevai, that good and good will chase you. Because only good can come out of it. And then they went on the meal, they said Berkat HaMazon, and this guy is walking away. So the Balabai comes, well, 1 minute, you wanted to ask question the Chafetz Chaim. Why do you run away? So I got an answer. You didn't even talk with him, how did you get an answer? So he told him the story, you know, I've got this charity, and the Chafetz Chaim says, Ach tov achesi lefuni kol yemei, I've got my answer. I'm going to go on with the charity I'm doing. And it's a big lesson for us, because really, because a lot of times when we do something good, Yetzer Hara comes. You know, he comes to disturb. And he tries to convince us that it's not good. What we do. Oh, let's say you did enough. And you know, all those excuses. But that's exactly the point. You have to understand, if you do something good, only good is going to come out of it. Even if now it doesn't look like it. If you do it with all your heart and you do it really from all the good intention, this is what the Torah says. Re'eh anochi noten. I'm putting it in front of you. You decide. It's a blessing and a curse in everything in life that you do. You decide. How do you decide? If you go, if you do what I'm telling you to do, what is the parsha telling us? Re'eh anochi noten lifnechem ayom bracha uklala. Et habracha asher tishmeu. The blessing if you listen to God. And the curse if you don't listen to God. In other words, it's in our hands. If we do what God wants us to do, it's a blessing. If we do what God doesn't want us to do, it's a curse. Even if it looks like a blessing. And it's a big lesson, especially now. And what is the idea of, as we say, re'eh, look, like, normally it will be Shema. One of the explanations is, first of all, Re'eh is in singular. But then, Anochi noten lifnechem, I'm putting in front of you, it's plural. What's the meaning? Re'u should be in plural. Re'u, I'm putting, what's Re'eh? Because, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, the people, you know, this is the blessing and this is the curse. Like, if you go in the way of God, you got blessed. If you go in the way, so they are, people are going, what is he talking about, this guy? He, what does he know about this world? This is Moshe Rabbeinu. He's too connected to God. What does he? What can he, like somebody comes and tells you you shouldn't do this and you should do this, and he sits in the yeshiva the whole day, doesn't even know what we go through. So how can he tell us what to do? Telling us, look, this is what look. What do you know about it? Can you imagine to yourself? A rabbi that is not connected to the people, doesn't know anything, comes from the yeshiva, goes to shul, doesn't see anything outside, and he stands in shul and telling off the people that are dealing with Yetzer Hara the whole day. How can he even talk? If you deal with Yetzer Hara and you know the fight and what it is about, you can explain to us. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu telling us? Re'eh. You see, who is talking with you? I'm talking with you. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu? If you're talking about all the physical part, this world, Olam Hazeh, he was raised up in the palace of Pharaoh. Every good thing in this world was in his hand. From the physical point of view, from the materialistic point of view, money, gold, women, whatever he wanted. All the joys of life. He was the prince of Egypt.
But he chose to leave it.
Yes. But he knew what it is. And he chose to leave it. Now you say, okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu knows what it is. The physical, the materialistic side of life. But what does he know about the spiritual side? Has he been up there? Yes. Yes. He's been with God. 40 days and 40 nights for 3 times. With God. So he tells them, look, I've been there and I've been there. And I'm telling you, if you want to win the game, you listen to me. Because I've been there. I saw what it's all about. Now, somebody like this who tells you something, you understand he knows what it's all about. It's not very easy, because in life, a lot of times, when you come someplace, for example, they give this story about this old guy sitting in front of 2 ways. One way, the road starts. You see a beautiful road, pavement, organized, unbelievable. The other road is all crooked and with spikes and things. Very hard to walk. Now, what road would you choose? The normal one, the nice one. But the guy is telling you, listen, this road starts nice, but after 500 meters, you have holes, and don't ask.
Terrible.
And this road, after 500 meters, you have a beautiful road. Now, what would you choose?
The second.
That's what God is telling us. Look, I'm putting in front of you 2 ways. One way looks like a curse, but it's really a blessing. The other way looks like a blessing, but it's really a curse. That's the idea of this pasuk. Re'eh anochi noten lifnechem ayom bracha uklala. Connected together. How can it be together? Either it's a bracha or it's a klala. But now we understand. If we go in the right way, it's a bracha. If we go in the wrong way, it's a klala. And unfortunately, in life, we will go through tests. And we have to go through them. That's why we're here. Another interesting thing, they're reminding us another thing in the Pasuk, Kaftet, Venatata et habracha, and you will put the blessing on Har Grizim, you remember this thing? And the curse on Har Eival. When Am Yisrael came to earth, they put them on two mountains, one Har Grizim, one Har Eival. One was cursed, the other one was blessed. And so the question, why did God do this? What's this scale? If you want to tell them about blessing and curse, put them in front of you and tell them, this is the blessing, this is the curse, and that's it. Why you have to take half of the Am Yisrael on one mountain, the half on the other mountain, and stand in the middle? And what did they do wrong that you were cursing them? And what did they do so good that you're blessing them? What's going on here? Says the Rambam that everybody should look at himself in the middle. Half guilty, half innocent. Half a Rasha, half a Tzaddik. In other words, his deeds are in the middle. Now, every deed that he's going to do now is going to change the balance. If he's going to do a mitzvah, he's going to go on the good side. He's going to be a Tzaddik. If he's going to sin, he's going to be a Rasha. Now, imagine to yourself that the whole world is like this. Half-half. In other words, the action that I'm doing now is going to have an influence on the whole world. That's the Sgula we're talking about, the power of the Jewish nation.
How does that explain the Holocaust?
You see, to try to explain the Holocaust, no, I'm sorry, I'm not the one that can explain the Holocaust. I can give you, I can give you an idea. I can give you an idea, but don't take it, it's only an idea.
Because this is what worries someone that I spoke to. That's the first thing they said.
We have to understand.
How do you explain it?
We have to understand. If we really believe in God, God, whatever God is doing is good. So how can you explain this big curse of the Holocaust? Okay. So first of all, if we believe that this world is only a temporary world, and the real world is the next world, and God also is telling us, if you suffer in this world, you're going to get reward in the next world. So now, if you look at it at this point, what do you think now of the Holocaust? Is it good or bad? For the people, not for us who stayed behind, but for the people that died, where are they now? In heaven. So is it good for them or bad? It depends how you look at things. Now, if you look at it from the point of view of Emunah, you realize that whatever God is doing is good. For example, Chas v'Shalom, somebody is being killed in a terrorist attack. He is called a saint, he's a saint. He goes up to heaven. So we know it's terrible to say, but yes. This here, it's like, imagine this is a film. This is not real. You have to understand the only real thing is the neshama. All what's around it, it's not a real thing. It's a fake. Like you have fake, what you call fake me, and you have the real me. The real me, what is the real me? The body. When I die, what happens to the body? The only thing that stays is what? The neshama. Now, if you realize this, you understand all the questions you can still ask, of course. But then you realize that it's not like you see it from the outside. It's from the inside.
And the survivors were not good people?
No, of course they were good people. That's the thing, that's the way of God. We cannot ask things like this on God. We can ask, but you have to understand that God knows what's good for us.
You've got to have emunah.
Yeah, that's the only thing that holds you. Now, I listened once in the radio, and they were on the Holocaust Day, and they were interviewing a survivor that had a number on his arm, and he was a religious person, and the interviewer is asking him, so I want to know, you went through hell, you lost your family, and haven't you got any questions? You know what he answered? I've got a lot of questions. But my questions are because I believe. Not on my belief. And that's a small difference, but it's a big difference. You can ask questions. Why did God do this? Why did God... But even if you don't know the answer, does it mean that God is wrong? Of course not. Whatever God is doing is the right thing. He doesn't do.
That's what it's all is.
It's, of course, otherwise he cannot explain anything. You know, it's like sometimes, you know,
I'm satisfied.
The Rav Pinkus Zatzal says a very, very interesting thing. You know, sometimes somebody comes and he asks you this stupid thing: why can't you have light on Shabbos? Turn on off the light. And it's ridiculous. You know, talking about fire. This is not fire. That's now. What do? You start explaining it. He says, this is stupid. Because you are starting from the end. It's not going to help this guy if you try to explain to him a circle, electric circle, it's like light, it's electricity, blah, 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 blah. If he doesn't believe that there is a God, and God gave us the Torah, what are you explaining him to?
When we bought our first house in America, we wanted to put in the Shabbos clock. And the guy was, I don't know, foreigner or somebody, asked him, put the clock in. He says, come here, here. All you do is you push the switch up.
Good. So again, so you're trying to explain
he
somebody.
He backed out of my house and never came back. He never put up the shutters.
And what is Rav Pinkus saying? That's exactly the point. He's saying, you ask him, do you believe in God? Now, if he tells you, I don't believe in God, he says, I've got nothing to explain to you. What do you want me to explain? Now, if you want to start and help him, so you try and convince him that there is a God. Now, when he believes in God, then we can go to the next stage. But to try and answer him why I cannot turn off the light, this is stupid. He doesn't understand what you're talking about. It's like two people sitting in front of the table trying to do peace. This one is talking Arabic, this one is talking Hebrew, and he doesn't understand Arabic, he doesn't understand Hebrew. They can talk, you know, from now to forever. Are they going to do peace?
Yeah.
Why? Because there was no connection. How do you want to do peace?
No, but you can't actually say that if you believe or you don't believe, the Jewish religion is the most amazing way of life. And when you practice it and you see the sense in it, you see the sense of switching off everything on Shabbat and you feel that, then you start to believe. So you can say, if you say to a person who's coming from out of that, from under me, because I often say, if I'm confronted by someone like that, I say, I don't always know 100%, 150% that I actually believe. You know, I don't know exactly, nobody knows. But I say, it's the most incredible way of life, and you may find that if you try to keep it, you may find it wonderful, and you may even find you believe. You start to believe because you cannot believe how amazing, and what the answer in learning. And
so, in other words, what you are saying, really, instead of answering about why do I turn on and off, you invite him for Shabbos.
Yes.
It's the same thing. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't start answering him why you are allowed or not allowed, because this is ta'amu uru ki tov Hashem. It's written. Ta'amu, taste, and see how good God is. But you have to taste it. Instead of trying to explain to this guy why you can turn on and off, this is an argument on nothing, because he doesn't understand what you're talking about. So you want him to make understand. So either you start, do you believe in God? Or you invite him to your house for Shabbos, that he will have this special feeling of Shabbos. You see, our belief is an unbelievable belief. And of course, we all believe in it. But if you don't believe, you have a problem. So how do you convince somebody that you're doing right or wrong? If he doesn't believe, you have a problem. So start arguing with somebody on a small point, it's missing the point. And by the way, what's a chet? Chet, what's a chet?
Sin.
What is in Hebrew chet? Le'achti et ha-matara. To miss the point. That's a chet. That's a chet. To miss the point. That's what it is. Chet is a sin. In Hebrew, chet is a when you take the letters, it's chet le'achti. It's like if you aim to something and you missed it. So that's a chet. You aimed something, but you missed it. That's a chet. Le'achtit ha-matara. So when we're talking about believing in God and how to explain the Holocaust and all those things, yes, it is difficult. And it's very hard for us to understand certain things. But behind it, there is a lot of, let's say, a logic of emuna. We have to believe and understand. You see, everything, why it happened, why is it... You see, people, it started in Germany when the Tnuat HaAskala, the reform movement, started. And the Jews were mixing with the Goyim. And unfortunately, Hitler, Yimach Shimo V'Zichro, what did he do? He took all those who were mixing with the Goyim, the third generation, fourth generation, they were not even Jewish, halachically. And he took them to the concentration camp. This is God telling us. I told you, you cannot mix with the Goyim. You are a special people. You are Am Segula. It's written in our Parsha. Now you have to understand, it's not that we hate Chas V'Sholom the Goyim. We don't hate the Goyim. Our job is to love the Goyim, to love everybody. But we have to start, first of all, from loving each other. Then love the Goyim.
But you said we love the person, but we don't like what they do to us.
Exactly. That's one thing. I'm not saying like the Christian that says, okay, turn the other cheek. And how hypocrite this is. You look at their history, how hypocrite it is. The Torah doesn't tell us to turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
Somebody who comes to kill you, you kill him first. How does this go with love? That's exactly love. What is love? It's, what do you love? Now, if we understand that this world is only a fiction, it's very hard to understand it, because God put us here and put the body in order for us to do the mitzvahs and then go where? Back to heaven as a neshama. So in other words, this whole world is really a passageway. So some people said, okay, so if it's this case, I want to go to heaven right now. Yeah, but you have a job to do. God gives each one of us a potential. The gulas we talked about. Each one's got a potential to do good. What do you do with this potential? It's like the Gemara this week we learned that somebody was born in a certain time, he's going to be a murderer, he's going to be an adulterer, he's going to be a thief, he's going to be... Sounds very terrible, sounds terrible. But the thing is that what God gives us, He gives us the blessing and the curse together. What we have to do is to use it in the right way. In other words, you have ability. What do you do with the ability? You have talent to speak. What do you do with it? Speak Lashon Hara? You can do it. You have the power of speak. You have a lot of money. What do you do with the money?
Spend in a casino.
Spend in a casino? Or you give charity? Everything. Everything in life. You are a doctor. Do you help people? Or the only thing that you care about is the money you're getting out of it? And it doesn't matter if this guy is going to... After you got the money, he says... It's like sometimes, you know, this doctor comes, he checks this guy, he says, okay, it's going to cost you $20,000.
They make you pay before. Yeah.
Now, if they make you pay before, what does it mean?
He doesn't care.
He doesn't trust what's going to, if you're going to survive.
Exactly.
Because if you're going to survive, I can give you the bill after. You know, when you eat a meal in a restaurant, you pay after, not before you ate.
Exactly.
But here, they take the money before. Why? If you don't survive, he's got the money.
He's safe. But it's the same as you pray for rain.
Yes.
You go to a special prayer meeting. Because they're not getting rain.
Yes.
And it doesn't rain. And they've got to do that. Why don't you bring your umbrellas? Not one person came with the umbrella.
In
that's
other
right.
words,
there's no belief.
That's a simple thing.
Bring your umbrella.
The more you believe, you see God is doing miracles for you. But the point is, you have to upgrade yourself in the level. Like in on the Kabbalah. The idea is, you always, like when you get the light, you turn the light back. You don't take it. Why? Because the idea is to take the light and do something with it. But a lot of light, like you look at the sun. If you look with your eyes on the sun, what happens to you? Do you see anything? You see nothing. So you have to put glasses, special glasses, in order to see. In other words, you're not going to get all the light of the sun, only a part of it. And it's like, let's say you wake up in the middle of the night and somebody turns the light on. You see nothing. But if you light a small candle and then more, you get used to it and then you get more and more. That's the way we work. You cannot take the whole thing in one go. You want the light of God, of course, but you cannot take it in one go because you have also your ego. And your ego tells you, I want. And that's wrong. But the Torah doesn't want you to take your ego and throw it away, because without ego, you want nothing. And if you want nothing and get nothing, what can you give to the world?
Nothing.
In other words, what's the idea? To take in order to give. Exactly.
I read but yesterday that there is the Nair.
Yes. The candle.
And the candle and the matches. And the candle with the matches, you light a flame. And the flame is the spark that you need to give more. Then it goes up and up and up. And you see that. And what is this? Is to study the Torah. Only in this way you can...
The light is the Torah.
The light.
The light of the Torah. That's what we're talking about. So I cannot get the whole. So what do I do? It's like when you want to jump. What's the first thing you do when you jump?
Depends where.
What?
Depends where you jump.
Think now. I want to jump. What do you do? What's the first thing you do when you want to jump high? What do you do?
Go lower.
Oh, you go down.
Down.
You cannot, you see, when I want to jump high, I must do like this.
Of course.
If I want to jump high.
Yes,
so what do I do first?
You go lower.
Go down. If I want to get the light of the Torah, what do I have to do first? Go down. Be humble. Be humble. Don't take, and then you can jump up. So the whole idea is, the Torah is telling us, Re'eh anochi noten lifnechem hayom. Today. What is today? Today is the day. What is the most important day in the year?
Now.
Now.
Today.
Today.
Now. The thing is, we have to be careful, because you know, a lot of people says, live the moment. You know this phrase?
Yeah.
Live the day, live the moment. So one, that's what I'm saying here. That's the Torah is also telling us. So what's wrong with it?
To live the moment?
Yes. Is it good or bad?
Yes. The moment that is
okay.
Now,
I want to drink this.
No, but the moment
it's poison.
Is now.
I want to live the moment. It's very sweet, but it's poison. I live the moment, drink it, and chas v'shalom, I'm dead. I want to fly. Okay, so I go now at the biggest tower in Israel, and I fly.
But I didn't think about this.
I live the moment, but what's happening the next moment?
I'm dead.
I want to get very quickly down. This is not high enough. But let's say I'm in the 20th floor, and I have three options. One, stairs. Other one, elevator, and jump. The elevator doesn't work. And going through on the steps is going to take me a long time. And I want to get very quickly down. So what am I going to do? Jump?
No.
Why not? I'm going to get very quickly down. The quickest. And I leave the moment. And I get there, on the spot.
I don't understand to live moment like this.
I tell you what is to live the moment. To live the moment, is if it's connected to the moment before and to the moment that's going to come.
Yes.
What's the meaning of it? Living a